This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name's Matt and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. We'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is, and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
I'm Eddie and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, mate.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thanks, mate. So, what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it's got a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you're at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Hi there, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who's going to share his experience with alcoholism with us. So let's meet our guest. Hi, mate.
Hi there.
Would you like to introduce yourself and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
My name's Eddie. I'm 49 years old, 22 years sober. I come from a big family. I've got three older sisters who used to be bossy but not now. And a twin brother who is quite similar to me with characteristics, although I don't think he has a drinking problem. And I've just lost my mother, but my father's still alive in a rest home in Beckenham.
So how would you describe your childhood, mate?
Childhood was, on one side of the coin, my father didn't quite know how to be a father and treated us in certain negative ways, I suppose you'd say. But on the other hand, I was given all the traps that a young kid could want as he grew up. I was shouted skiing trips and holidays away. We had a batch by the beach that we spent time with. I was well educated. There were no real big breaks within the family. The family stayed together as a unit and still does today.
That's good to hear. Yeah, and do you have, are you married? Do you have children or anything like that, mate?
I have no children and I'm not married. I'm single because that's the way it's meant to be at the moment.
Okay, no, fair enough. Would you please describe how you started drinking, when you started drinking, and how did that progress? Because you haven't had a drink for quite a long time now, 22 years.
Yes, that's right. My drinking started off quite innocently. I was at a relative's do, and my cousin gave me a beer and lemonade, and I drank that and thought, oh, that's a nice feeling. And then I just put that to one side. And then as I turned into a teenager, I used to go to my parents' drinking cabinet and put all the spirits into a Tupperware container and go and drink them with friends in parks and stuff. And we never felt so good. It was just an amazing feeling to be, I suppose, high on alcohol. And then through my teens, I carried on drinking, and I was lucky enough to make it to varsity. And then I had a triple obsession going. One was keeping fit with running in the gym, one was study, and one was drinking alcohol. So 3 years of that, and I was pretty burnt out. I did complete my degree, but I was unable to work after that for quite a wee period. And I stopped eating and drank alcohol and stopped sleeping and became quite elevated because I had a girlfriend that decided one of my friends was a better option, and that sort of hurt a bit. And also I had a friend who died in a mountain climbing accident, and I didn't process any of the feelings. So with drinking, that culminated in a mania, and I ended up in Hillmorton. And I was told to stop drinking. So I turned into a binge drinker and I stopped drinking. But it wasn't long after 10 months of not drinking, I went to a threesome, three guys. They had two cans and I had 12, and I thought, this is a bit strange. They're not really drinking all that much, are they? And then I went to the bars and hit the spirits. I didn't have other drugs. And then in the end, I was lying in my bed with a 15-litre keg of beer at my side, drinking out of bed, out of a keg of beer, and that was all within the space of a month, having just had 10 months without drinking.
It was a rapid regression.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I never recovered from there, really. My drinking became quite addictive. And I gave up a girlfriend so that I could go to the pub. I mean, that's pretty silly. But when I got to the pub, I felt like it was my home. I thought the bartender was a friend. And I would drink jugs of beer until I couldn't carry on drinking anymore. I never had blackouts, but I just drank to that point where I felt quite detached or lost my insight on things, and then I'd just go home and crash. And in the end, I was selling parts of the flat to make money for jugs of beer and riggers of beer, and it was all a way of coping because I thought my life had become so hopeless that I had every right to rely on alcohol to get by. And then I hit a rock bottom, and I rung up the after hours phone at AA, and a kind man answered the phone and gave me an hour of his time, and he asked me questions about my childhood, my upbringing, my school life. And he was the first person in a long time that actually took any interest in me as a person. So he organised two guys to come around and give me a lift to a meeting, and my sobriety started from there.
Wow. That's pretty cool that you were able to reach out at that time. And so has that been unbroken since then?
The first 6 months I relapsed. I couldn't work out in my mind because I was so mentally challenged with all the drinking that I'd done. It took me a year to learn the Serenity Prayer. Like, I couldn't recite it until I'd been sober for a year because okay. That's where my mind was at.
You're quite addled.
And I went to my first meeting, and these people had heartfelt laughter, which I hadn't heard since my childhood. You know, I hadn't heard since my teenage years. And people had smiles on their faces, and they were hugging each other. And I thought, gee, this looks like a good place. Yeah. But I couldn't get rid of the obsession to put down the drink, so every month or so I'd go and get drunk, and then I'd face up to AA, but the cycle had to be broken because I suddenly realised that people in the fellowship were keeping sober for long periods of time, and I had that insight then. So from that point I actually stopped and worked up 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and even a year of sobriety, and they were quite white-knuckled months and weeks, but I got there to a year, and that was celebrated by the other members in my home group.
So you were made to feel quite welcome within AA as soon as you arrived, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I'd been to Hillmorton, and I mentioned that I was on a benefit, and they thought nothing of it. They just welcomed me with open arms. I thought I wouldn't be accepted because of my current situation, but people... I can remember two old-timers... They didn't tell me to work. They just said, "What say you got a couple of gardening jobs?" So that's what I did, and all of a sudden I could handle and concentrate for the hour of a meeting, and concentrate for 2 hours gardening, and that was a real uplifting experience for me. So I thank them very much.
Just making those suggestions.
Yeah, and then I went on to get a part-time job, which I stayed at for 10 years in gardening and landscaping. So that was just with my higher power and these old-timers that gently pushed me in the right direction.
Would you be able to just quickly describe what you mean by white-knuckling? You were saying that you built up a period of sobriety incrementally through white-knuckling. What do you mean by that phrase?
Well, it felt uncomfortable because of the levels of anxiety and grief and hurt that I felt. When I put down the drink, I realised that I was processing feelings that I couldn't even identify beforehand.
Right.
And with the high levels of anxiety as well. And
so you'd sort of used alcohol as an anaesthetic?
Yes.
Yeah, from an early age.
Because when I was drinking, I couldn't identify what was going on inside of me.
Yeah. So how have you managed to stay sober all these years?
When the desire to drink left me after about 6 months, it did become a lot easier. I still thought about drinking and still visualised bottles of bourbon and bottles of beer, and I gave up marijuana a year before I came to AA, so part of me was wanting to clean up my act so that I could be a good son to my parents.
Yeah.
And as my parents began to trust me again, there was one instance where I said goodnight, Mum and Dad, I was staying with them, and I went straight out to the garage where the beer fridge was and took all their beer and drank it in bed. But they came and checked on me and saw me with all these cans of beer around me, and they just were furious that I'd reached that point of, you know, not such a good place. But gradually over time, particularly when I got a year up, Mum and Dad started trusting me again and supporting me in ways that they hadn't supported me before, because I thought I was a bit of a lost case.
Yep.
So that, and getting into service work. I remember I got a job as a GSR, and I'd been used to moaning about my own problems, but all of a sudden with the GSR work, I had to be out of myself and talk about things to do with the service work of AA, and that was a big step for me.
Okay, and what's GSR work, mate?
Group service representation.
Okay, and that's in the context of AA meetings and groups.
AA meetings, yeah.
I see. So a service has been quite important for your recovery?
Yes, it has been.
Yeah.
I haven't sponsored too many people, but I have helped other alcoholics, and I have done a lot of service work, like secretary work, GSR, treasurer.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really, really useful.
And the friendships that I've made are completely different to the friendships I had in my drinking days. And they've been able to listen to me when I've needed to be listened to, and I've listened to them when I've able to listen to them. So
fabulous.
That's one of the blessings. And finding my higher power, particularly since I did my fourth and fifth step, I did my fourth step with Father Ray, and he said you can either hold on to all this baggage like a sand in your hand, or you can open up the window and throw it away. So that's what I did. I let go and threw it away, and from then my self-esteem improved, my confidence improved, my thoughts about myself and others improved, and it was like a bridgestone in my sobriety when I did that when I was about 2.5 years sober.
So that's one of the steps of the 12 steps of the AA program, huh?
Yeah.
Searching and fearless moral inventory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sharing it with someone, isn't it?
Having the courage to read it out with someone else.
I see.
And it happened to be a priest, and he didn't minimalise what I shared, but he said this is quite normal for alcoholics to put, you know, live through this stuff in their drinking days, and their childhoods maybe not so good. But he just gave me hope that I would have a life probably beyond my wildest dreams if I kept on going to AA and working the steps.
Well, it must have been such a relief.
Yeah. I felt like putting a suit on and walking down the street because I felt so good about things. I was no longer hiding anything. You know, it was just an amazing feeling.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's really, really great to hear. How have you coped with difficulties in your life as they've come up, over the course of your sobriety?
Going to meetings and finding out that others in the fellowship have already been through what you've been through, like with my parents ageing.
Yes.
I've got associates in the fellowship that have already lost their parents years ago, and they were able to understand why I was feeling a bit muddled or a bit off balance.
Great. And so you've had a lot of empathy through...
Yes.
Attending meetings and...
Yes.
That's fabulous. How would you describe yourself and the life that you've got today? I guess compare and contrast, you know, to the past.
I have discipline.
Yes.
A degree of discipline. I can take on a bit more responsibility. But largely it's the changes within. It's... Materially, my life hasn't changed too much. But the changes within after... I had a close friend in the fellowship who passed away suddenly, and I went through 3 to 6 months of grief, but I came out the other side after processing all those feelings, feeling a lot better and a lot more accepting of my situation. And I suppose having others to talk to and praying about it at night, doing the 10th step, and pausing when agitated is crucial to me.
Yep.
I had an incident the other day where something upset me, but I didn't react straight away. I paused for a few days and then did my best. The outcome was still negative, unfortunately, but I did my best to pause for a few days so I could mellow out a bit as a person and not be so worked up.
Okay, things, so you've like become that. Less reactive, much less.
Less reactive, yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned prayer. What do you pray to?
Well, my higher power belief is that it's an energy force in the universe, and we can tap into that if we want to as humans.
Okay.
So
you've got your own spirituality.
Yeah. I've never gone to church. I read about Catholicism for a while, but it wasn't my cup of tea. But I did get into meditation with a meditation group, and that was about the soul and how we're part of this life and the next life and things like that.
So I've just got a question here about your personal relationships and stuff. You mentioned that your parents, after about a year, you know, they came to sort of see you as being, you know, having made some serious changes and stuff. Have your other relationships changed?
I'm not so needy.
For the better?
I used to be really needy, and I think, to be honest, I've rung the same person 6 times in a day. I used to do that in early sobriety, just so that I could be heard and acknowledged, or just to be told that things are okay, like a little baby would.
Right.
But since then I've progressed, and I have healthy conversations with people once a week rather than 3 or 4 times a day, because something has changed within me that makes me a little bit more grown up as a person, and I can work my own way through things quite independently. I think independence is a great thing. Even though we rely on meetings and the steps to keep well and sober, We also develop an independence, each of us, which enables us to work through things as an individual.
Sounds very useful. Eddie, have you seen your confidence grow since you've been in AA?
Yes, I have. Not through the auspices of anybody else, but I started playing sport and I played indoor cricket and played for a whole season, and that would have been impossible when I was drinking.
Why would it have been impossible?
Probably the levels of anxiety and the lack of discipline. It was once a week. And so I pulled that off and realised that I could probably try out other things of the same calibre.
Yes.
In the future. So I started running for a while, and I thought my thinking as an alcoholic was that I'd have a stroke or something, because my body wasn't really ready for it. But I went to a gym and went on the running machine and found out that I could run for 20 minutes. So that was quite a good feeling. Just being sensible, but you can try things out and you look back on them and you think, well, I did that, and maybe I can do something different in the future, which is just as fulfilling.
Yeah, I've heard alcoholism described as a disease of isolation, so it kind of sounds like you're coming out of isolation, you know, and integrating into the greater community, you know.
That's right. Yeah, and it did take a lot of courage to join the sports team. I didn't know anybody,
okay,
but I got my strength through going to meetings and meeting strangers as well.
Right.
So
yeah.
So I just
demystifying the process of socialising.
Yeah. So the step for me was to treat the indoor cricket like an AA meeting and just talk to people, you know, nicely and politely and all that sort of stuff.
Great. No, fantastic. It sounds like your life really has changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since you got sober. Well done.
Yeah.
Eddie, what are your goals for the future at this point?
I'm a creative writer. I quite like the idea of continuing writing and see where that goes.
Yes.
Continue to be a good member of the family to my sisters and my brother, and just explore life at my own pace, which is something else that I can do now, explore things at my own pace. Rather than being hurried up or pressured, I can actually carry out the basics of my life, and then I've got free time to work out what I would like to do in the future. So just carry on doing what I'm doing and keep growing with the 12 steps and AA.
Sounds like you've got massively increased resilience compared with 22 years ago.
Yes.
Is there anything that you'd suggest for listeners that think they might have a drinking problem? Any advice or, you know, suggestions?
Don't be afraid to reach out. You won't be punished. It's not like people in AA aren't punishers and neither is God. So don't be afraid to reach out on the phone, ring the AA centre, find out where meetings are, even be lucky enough to get a lift. And I was lucky enough in my early sobriety to have lifts with old-timers to meetings, and that made a huge difference to me.
I see. And when you say God, you're not talking about a Christian deity at all, are you?
No.
A sort of a higher power.
A higher
of one's own understanding.
Yeah.
I see. Are there any questions that you'd ask someone to help them decide whether they do need help?
I'd ask them, hey, look, do you think you have a problem with alcohol, with the use of alcohol? Ask them and see what they say.
Mm. AA is described as a spiritual program. What does the spirituality mean to you, mate? You've already talked about it a fair bit.
I think the third step is crucial. I found it hard to do the second step for a long time.
Okay. What is the third step?
Offering yourself to something larger than yourself.
I see.
Offering your will over to the will of something bigger than you that's positive and loving and caring. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that sounds challenging for a man such as myself.
Yes.
I'm very willful, you see.
Yes.
Hmm.
I've got a few issues going on in my private life at the moment, and I'm just riding through them by trusting the universe that it'll work out. Whatever the way it's meant to work out, it'll work out, and I'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got ample proof of that in my sobriety, that things work out.
That's beautiful. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
That's fine. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's really great to have you. For our listeners, if you're related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, You can look us up on the web at aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experience. Our show is every Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all of our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download and subscribe to podcasts on iTunes. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you drive